morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and I will be reading from verses 13 through 16. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, we are generally marching right through Mark. This is the year of Mark in the lectionary seasons. I've mentioned this before, but let me mention it again. It's nice to know these things. The lectionary is A, B, and C, and it's for Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So we are in B, the year of Mark. And this lectionary season will be ending at the end of November, so it's coming to an end. We're generally marching right through the book of Mark. And this is the story of Jesus blessing the little children in Mark's gospel. Again, I invite you to follow along in your pew Bible or simply listen for the word of God as I read these words. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Archaeologists found an ancient papyrus at the turn of the 20th century in Egypt. They determined that this papyrus goes back to the first century, that is, the New Testament era. It is a letter from an Egyptian man to his pregnant wife. He has been away on work and is telling her what to expect about wages coming to her. It is a very tender letter in some ways, and in other ways, it is stunning. It is stark. For he is telling her that as soon as he gets his wages, he is going to be sending them her way, not to worry. But as she is about to give birth, this is what he says to her. If it is a son, if it is a boy, let it live. If it is a girl, cast it out. John Crossan, the noted biblical scholar, in his Jesus, a Revolutionary Biography, uses that papyrus, that letter, as a backdrop to interpreting this story from Mark's gospel. And what he wants to say there is that what is in that letter is not an anomaly in the ancient Mediterranean world, that a child was in essence accepted as a person if the father blesses, if the father receives that child into his family. So it is with stark contrast that we enter the scene from Mark's gospel, isn't it? What Crossan, in fact, wants to argue is that there must have been a debate in Mark's community. It was a debate about whether to accept orphans into the Christian church, into Jesus' discipleship. And if that's true, then the disciples, perhaps by sternly ordering them to stay away, were saying no to those orphans. Jesus, by marked contrast, was saying yes, and doing more than that, as if a father embracing them as his own, taking them in his arms, touching them, blessing them, making them part of the family. What this suggests about the early church is this. It is a radical, revolutionary thing of inclusion. And this is what John Crossan says about it. That the kingdom of God, the church, is to be a kingdom of children and therefore a kingdom of nobodies. A kingdom of nobodies. Now let me put that another way. A kingdom of nobodies in which everybody is somebody, especially the least of all, the ones who had been traditionally cast out, especially those. We want to put it in our era. It is a kingdom of refugees where all are refugeed who are accepted home. It is a kingdom of immigrants where all are immigrants and are given citizenship. It is a kingdom of the undocumented where all are undocumented and given their papers. It is a radical kingdom symbolized by Jesus' touch, his embrace, his blessing. It is a remarkable thing. In fact, some people have wanted to say that the entire world is contained in that touch. The entire world is contained in that blessing, in Jesus' bringing the little ones up into his arms. As I have mentioned to you in the weeks past, I have been rereading the great Jewish philosopher's, Martin Buber, his book, I, Thou. In fact, I'm on my third way through it. And it's really striking that at the very beginning of this book, he says there are really, in all languages, there are basically two words. The first word is I, it. And the second word is I, you. Now, upon hearing this, you're intelligent people, and you're probably thinking, now that's four words, right? No, not at all. For what Buber suggests is this: every time I say an I presume one of the other two words. Every time I say an I either presume it or I presume you. Now think about it. When I say an I have something in mind. I have something in mind about my relation to the world, that it is an it, a utilitarian thing, which is not in and of itself a bad thing, but can be lent towards exclusion, violation. Or I presume a you and deep relationship, deep connection, one with the other. What Buber is getting at in this notion is very similar to the Buddhist notion of non-self, which is a difficult notion when you first encounter it. But actually, upon thinking about it for a second, a non-self is really a self in relation to others. Because for Buddhism, and interestingly enough, for Sufi Islam, the same thing exists. And that is, a self separated from others is the beginning of suffering. A self deeply interconnected with others is the beginning of liberation and hope and joy. Now, that's all very highfalutin stuff, and Jesus simply does very concrete acts to say the same exact thing, to embrace it, to embody it, by taking the little child, the nobody, and touching that child, taking that child into his arms and blessing it as one of God's own. It is a remarkable thing, a remarkable kingdom that Jesus has called us to. The kingdom of children, which is a kingdom of nobodies, it's a kingdom that does not need to be defended by force. It is a kingdom of nonviolence, a kingdom of deep, deep mutuality, interconnectedness with all of those on the earth, especially the least well off. That's what God calls us to as the church. And upon hearing that, you may be wondering, how do I get to this place? How do I get to this kingdom? Jesus' answer to that is very simple. You must become as a little child. To enter the kingdom of God, you must become as a little child. Now, that's a puzzling notion when you think about it. It's not something that I aspire to. Is it for you? I want to grow up. Most of us want to grow up. So what does that mean, to become a little child, to enter into childhood again? Some have suggested that it might be innocence that Jesus is calling us to, but naivete is not a goal either for most of us, nor are we very innocent? Chad Myers, a very fine biblical scholar, suggests this, that actually what Jesus is calling us to is to going to the roots, going to the roots of who we are, the roots of the kind of violence that is created in our world, the roots of childhood, where that violence begins. Now think about that for just a moment. Childhood psychologists will tell us that the pain that we experience in childhood, the betrayals, the things that happen to us in childhood that sometimes are unconscious, that sometimes people don't mean to inflict upon us. Even in the best of circumstances, we experience these things. We experience the pain of not being chosen, the pain of not being the beautiful one, the pain of not being the handsome one, the pain of not being great in sports, the pain of not being the smartest, the pain, and it goes on and on and on, and we repress these things. And as a child, we are powerless. We are powerless to express our anger at such rejection, at such betrayal. We repress it. It goes deep into our lives and has a lasting effect on it and has an experience of surfacing as dysfunction in most of our lives. Now, some may say, well, this is a psychologizing the gospel, isn't it? Well, maybe. But after all, Jesus invites us to that kind of self-examination. The Bible does. It's an ancient Jewish practice. If you'll simply look at the Psalms, they invite us to that kind of self-reflection, to go deep inside of us, deep inside to the roots of pain, to the roots of separation that bring alienations to our life, to go to those kinds of things. And that is what I certainly have in mind when I've suggested to you the daily examination of grace, which is not just about grace, it's about the daily examination of the kinds of unloving things that are part of our lives. Any kind of deep examination of that often takes me back to my childhood, and it can take us back to those places where we need healing, the places where we need, where we can find the God of love bringing liberation to our lives. It is such as this, that places like this, where we can even go through a reimagining of who God is. For too often, the pain in our lives we imagine to be inflicted by God. It's a horrible thing when one might think that, but I hear that all the time from people. Why did God do this to me? Or why did God let that happen? It's an interesting thing to ponder that in light of Jesus' embracing of the nobody, the child that could have been cast out, touching that child, embracing, blessing that child. And that's what God wants to do to each and every one of us, to the roots of our pain, to the roots of our alienation. And that's what happens at this table at World Communion, because the children of the world are at this table today. The children at the Najoro orphanage are no doubt partaking of communion today, a program that we participate in at New York Avenue Presbyterian Church. People who are refugeed throughout the world, Christians, are partaking at the table, finding a place at the table. Immigrant people in this country are finding a place at the table today. We are finding a place at the table. It is a place where we bring the roots of our pain, because the wounds of Christ are at this table, and our root wounds, therefore, are represented at this table. And as we bring them here, they can be healed. They can be liberated. We can find acceptance at this table. As we partake of the bread and the cup, we are touched by God. We are embraced by God. And we are claimed as blessed of God. Amen.